skipped it, and we're back at Christmas time. Time to get the tree out once again. All the seasons in one day, right? We have several intimations to announce this morning. First of all, the next gathering of our men's group will be Tuesday, 26th of April at 7 p.m. in the church center, and our speaker will be my lovely wife, Heather. So please, all interested men, please come along and hear Heather's story and get to know her a little bit better. A couple announcements about Christian Aid. The annual jog walk for Christian Aid will be from 10 to 11 a.m. on Saturday, the 14th of May, in the Pleasure Park. Get a sponsor form from the primary schools or from Leslie Mackay here at church. And also about the Christian Aid shop, the stalls will be set up in the church center from 6 to 9 p.m. on Wednesday, 18th of May, and open on the dates and times printed in your bulletin. More help is requested and required. And for information, please do speak to Leslie about that as well. Announcement about the next meeting of our Kirk session. If that pertains to you as an elder of the church, that meeting will be this Tuesday at 7:30 in the evening at the church center. Regarding our Kemne Kirk Anytime Anywhere project, our cameras and the intent to eventually record and live stream our services, gift aid envelopes are now available, and there is a collection tin at the front door to help us meet the cost of this worthwhile program. And on that note, as we've noted for the last several weeks, we're in the process of testing our video system. You can see the green lights clicked on, but just a reminder that we are not broadcasting out, but we're simply recording in-house, testing our service at this time. And finally, I've been asked to announce that on Saturday, the 23rd of April, there will be a daffodil coffee morning at Howe Trinity Parish Church in Afford from 10 to 12 to raise funds to help cover the cost of shipping blankets and knitting goods to Malawi. So that's 23rd of April from 10 to 12 in Afford. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family this morning? Any other intimations at all? Well, with those said, let us prepare to sing our gathering song together then. The church is wherever God's people are praising. Let us pray. Bless the Lord. May all that is within us bless his holy name. Lord, you are the one who forgives all our iniquities. You are the one who keeps us on the path of life. You are the one who crowns each of us with steadfast love and mercy. And Lord, you are merciful and gracious. Even when we willfully turn away from you, even when we sin against you, you do not fail us. Time and time again, you seek us out. Time and time again, you bring us back into your fold. Thank you, Lord, for not dealing with us according to our sins, but rather according to your unfailing mercy. Thank you, Lord, for the great work of redemption that you have accomplished for us in Jesus. Thank you for his saving death and resurrection, through which each of us is offered life eternal. And Lord, our lives here on earth last for but a moment, but we believe that those who place their hope and their trust in you will abide forever. And as we enter into our time of worship this morning, we pray that everything we do and everything we say will truly glorify your holy name. Bless the Lord. May all that is within us bless your holy name. Amen. Now we continue to worship our God this morning by singing our next song, Rejoice. And during the singing of this song, your offering for God's work here in Kemne and beyond will be uplifted.
Rejoice, rejoice, Christ is in you, the hope of glory in your heart.
As we watch the ever-changing moods of our spring weather, And despite the beauty of your creation and the increasing change of the world about us, we are reminded of how you remain unchanged, a constant in our lives. Lord, we give thanks for your faithfulness. Thank you that you walk with us each and every day, that you are with us in each moment, even in the darkness, where your light, that is your Son, shines for those who seek him. You have brought each of us safely to this place where we can freely worship without fear or hindrance and join to confess you as Lord. As we open our hearts, minds, and souls to worship, we ask that you strengthen us, restore us, and inspire us with your love. Through the Spirit freely given, help us to understand your word. Lead us to a deeper, closer relationship with you. As we worship together in your presence, we pray for those leading the service in prayer, in reading, the music of the praise band, and the organ. We pray also for Joshua as he leads and teaches us your word, Lord. May they all be channels for your love, a love each of us are invited to share. It is with prayerful thanks we receive our offerings and ask for wisdom that we may use them wisely in furthering the work of your church, not only here in Kemnay, but wherever in the world we are asked to do your work, as we say together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let us now continue in worship together by singing our next song, Before the Throne of God Above. Well, good morning, boys and girls. Who here knows what this thing is? Who knows what this is? What's this device? What do you think it is, Ben? What do you think it is? What? That's a tablet. Well done, indeed. I heard iPad over here. Victoria, do you agree? Is this an iPad? Does that look like one to you? Yeah? Okay. Well, you know, you can do all sorts of things with an iPad. You know, I use this on Sundays here for my sermon and to lead us in worship. But, you know, we can also, what, watch movies on these things, right? Yeah? I use this a lot for talking to my family back home. It's amazing. I can push just a few buttons, and I can send a message 4,438 miles away. Just like that. Ain't technology grand? But, you know, when I do talk to my family, I use a very special thing on these tablets. Who here knows what an emoticon is? You heard of that before? An emoticon, you know those little smiley faces and whatnot you can put on your text messages, your messages to your friends? I use those a lot when I talk to my family. And I have a few here. I wonder if you can tell me what you think these are. These all represent different feelings we have, okay? So let's try a little quiz here. What kind of emotion does this look like? It's a smiley face, right? What might he be feeling? Happy. Well done. You agree, Charlotte? You agree? What do you think, Victoria? Do you look happy? Yeah? Okay. What about this next one? I'll rotate it this way, a bit easier to see. What about that one? Freezing the back, trying to see as well. What do you think? Is this one happy? No? No? What do you think, Charlotte? It's sad. That's right. So you can see a little big teardrop on its face as well. Next one. This one's a little tougher. This one's doing this. Thinking. Ooh, well done indeed. What do you think, Katie? Thinking. You agree? Yeah? What do you think? That's right. That's what he's doing. He's thinking like this. So he's thinking or maybe a little bit confused as well. Do you agree, Andy? Yeah. That's what you get for sitting in the front row. This next one. This one's a little tougher. What do you think? Look at the big rosy cheeks. What happens when your cheeks turn red? I don't know. That's okay. What do you think? Katie, what do you think? Surprise, maybe. Annabelle, do you have a guess? Your cheeks are turning red right now. Yeah. Charlotte, what do you think? Embarrassed. That's right. So it's feeling embarrassed, right? We all know that feeling of our cheeks getting hot. What about this one? Ben, what do you think? Mad, right? Right? Looking. You agree? Charlotte, do you agree? Annabelle, does that look like an angry face to you? Katie? Victoria, what do you think? Does that one look angry? Does it look angry? Looks like it's frowning, right? You know, each of these is a different emotion. You know, and God gives each of us our emotions for a reason. We can say that every emotion is a gift from God. We can feel all these different things, whether we feel, back to the beginning, happy, don't mind me, sad, confused or thinking, embarrassed, angry, all these and much more are emotions that God gives to us. But you know what? Any of these emotions, if there's too much of one of them, it can be very hard for us, and especially anger. If we're too mad or too angry, it can have really bad consequences. And you know, to highlight this point, I have a very popular game here on the iPad. And I have to warn you that especially my family back home in the States, especially my stepfather, loves to play this game, much to my mother's annoyance. So I'll bring it up now. I'll bring up the sound as well, if I can. Anybody recognize that music? What do you think it is? Say again. Angry Birds, we have a winner. We have a winner. Anybody ever played this game before? Any adults want to confess to playing this game before? There's a few in the back. And so the point of this game, you have these birds, whose eggs have been stolen by pigs. Just go with it, okay? I don't know if that really happens or not. Jim, you play this game as well, I think. Yeah? Yeah. So you hit the play button, and then you pick a level, and these birds are so angry they want to destroy the pigs to get their eggs back. So we have the first level here. We hear the story. The birds are, where have our eggs gone? They can't find them. They're confused, and then one bird sees it, and he sees these pigs with the eggs and a frying pan. Okay? And they are angry. So the whole point of the game, there's the pigs in the base, and you have a slingshot with birds, and you have to put your finger back and throw the birds at the structure. Okay? Charlotte, you want to give it a try? Wind up, take a shot. Good hit. There it is, right there. One shot, Charlotte. That's what I'm going to call you from now on. So you destroyed it. So what happened? What happened when you flung the bird? What happened to the pigs? What happened to their base? You got two stars. It got destroyed. That's right. I promise I don't play this during Presbytery. We see in that game when the birds are angry, they destroy the base. And that's what happens sometimes when we get too angry. The things around us get hurt. Things around us get destroyed. And boys and girls, today we're dealing with a special story from the Bible, from the book of Esther, about two people who got way too angry and destroyed things around them. One man's name was Mordecai, one man's name was Haman. And both of these guys got way, way too angry about different things in their life with terrible consequences. Mordecai worked for the king at the time, but Haman got promoted over him, which made Mordecai, how do you think it made Mordecai feel if someone else got a better promotion over him? Made him angry, that's right. And so when Haman came by in our story, Mordecai refused to bow before him because he's too angry. And that caused Haman to be angry at Mordecai in return, and he tried to wipe out all of Mordecai's people. And so the lesson about anger this morning is that too much anger can destroy the things around us. It can destroy even ourselves, because Mordecai and Haman both got angry. It both got them in trouble. And in our own lives, some of us struggle with feeling too much anger sometimes. But we have to learn to control it. We have to learn to ask for God's help to control our feelings of anger. There are lots of things we can try. We can count to 10, to 20, or 100 when we're feeling angry. We can pray for God's help. We can talk to our parents. We can go for walks, if we're old enough, to clear our heads. We can take time to ourselves to be quiet, to try and work through feelings of anger. Because anger is not a nice feeling when it gets to be too much inside of us, is it? It's not a nice feeling, is it? No. But you know what? God's ready to help us with it at all times. We just have to ask him for help. And Jesus gave us the perfect example of how to deal with anger by praying about it, by working through it, by trusting God for the help that we need. So when we feel angry, boys and girls, let's ask God for help to get through it. He'll always want to help us. Let us pray. Dear Lord, thank you for our emotions, for the ones that make us feel happy and sad and everything in between. Help us to remember, Lord, that you have created us and that you love us dearly. And Lord, when we feel too angry, when we lose our tempers, help us to ask for your forgiveness and help us to ask for your help to calm down, to feel better, and be the people that you want us to be. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And that was the one time we get to play games in church. Now we continue with our children's song, I'm Going to Take a Step of Faith.
I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. He has the power to carry me through the day. I listen carefully to you. Tell me what to do. I'm going to take a step of faith. I'm going to put my trust in the Lord. Never let me go.
beginning again.
I'm gonna take a step of faith. I'm gonna put my trust in the Lord. He has the power to carry me through. If I miss it, then I believe it. We've got a lot to do. I'm gonna take a step of faith. I'm gonna put my trust in
the Lord. Merci.
I'm gonna take a step of faith. I'm gonna put my trust in the Lord. I'm gonna take a step of faith. I'm gonna put my
one more time.
I'm gonna take a step of faith.
Watch it.
I put my trust in
God. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, we believe that you have spoken a definitive word to us in the pages of Scripture. We believe that every page of your word is filled with your spirit and with your truth. And as we continue our journey through the story of Esther, we pray that you will help us to see you at work in every page of this remarkable story, so that we may also see you at work in our own lives. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are the strength and redemption of all who call on your name. Amen. In each of our lives, we face countless decisions, don't we? Some decisions are everyday and commonplace, such as what should I eat for breakfast? And other decisions occur far less frequently in our lives. Maybe even only once in our lives. For me, one decision that stands out in my mind was the decision to get married. At one point in my life, I did not think that the pattern of my life would be compatible with marriage. I had certain plans that, at least in my mind, seemed to flow better without having to consider the needs and wants of another human being. But there is an old and I think very true saying that if we want to hear God laugh at us, tell him our future plans. Getting married to Heather changed many things in my life, for the better, of course. And one of the many things that Heather has contributed to our marriage is an abiding enthusiasm for all things related to Disney. Before I was married, I never thought I would spend a first wedding anniversary at Disneyland in California. But we did. And I also never thought that I would spend a second anniversary in another Disney park, this time on the other side of the world in Paris. 22 days and counting. For those of you who share my wife's abiding enthusiasm for Disney and my newfound enthusiasm for it, for those of you whose life circumstances require you to tolerate Walt's ongoing legacy, or for those of you who cannot escape Disney no matter how hard you try, you may recognize the title of this morning's sermon comes from a recent and memorable Disney movie. I see some smirks in the congregation. Who here knows where the title of my sermon comes from? I can't hear it. Frozen, that's right. The song Let It Go is probably the most memorable song from the movie. But don't worry, we're not singing it in church today. But maybe the praise band could be ready with that for a future occasion. In my view, that song in the movie is all about letting go of the past, especially those moments, those times in the past when we've been hurt or misunderstood by others. The song is a reminder that in the final analysis, we only harm ourselves by holding on to past grievances and hurts. In many ways, I think this is also the main focus of this morning's section from the book of Esther. As we've heard over the last couple of weeks, Esther from the Old Testament is an unusual book. It's the only book in the Bible that doesn't even mention God, not even once. God seems to be absent from this story, but a closer examination of the story shows us that God's fingerprints are everywhere. From start to finish, Esther is a story about God's providence, God's intimate involvement with and direction of the course of history. Esther tells us that even when we cannot see him, even when we can't hear him, God is always present, always active, always in control. And because Esther isn't a book we often hear about in church, it's worth taking some time to reflect on what we have heard so far in the story. The first chapter of Esther, we might remember, focused on King Xerxes, who ruled over the Persian Empire. Xerxes ruled the whole known world at the time when the Jewish people were in exile from the homeland, at a time in their history when God seemed to be silent and absent from his people. And we heard in the first chapter how Xerxes enjoyed throwing lavish parties for his officials, one party that lasted 6 whole months. At the end of one of his parties, he wanted to show off the beauty of his wife, Queen Vashti, to those who were in attendance. But Vashti did something at the time that was unthinkable. Remember, she said, what did she say to King Xerxes? No, that's right. And she refused to allow Xerxes to parade her around like a piece of meat. And this enraged the king. And after he had Vashti removed from her position, a new search was begun for a new queen who would comply with the king's desires. And then the second chapter of the story was when we were first introduced to Esther and to the man who raised her, her cousin Mordecai. And in the second chapter, we learn that Esther was one of the many young women throughout the empire who was taken as a candidate for queen. We also learn that Esther embraced the opportunity, quickly moved up the ranks, and because she followed the advice given to her by Mordecai and by the king's staff, she was selected as the new queen of the Persian Empire. And we also learn that even though becoming queen forced Esther to capitulate to the very fallen standards of the time, God was only just beginning to work in and through her life. That even when she made mistakes, God was still at work. And that brings us up to the third chapter of Esther, which will be our focus for this morning. And this morning's reading from chapter 3 can be found on page 503 of the Church Bibles. And I invite each of us to follow along as we hear the text read aloud on page 503. Reading from the first verse. After these events, King Xerxes honored Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, elevating him and giving him a seat of honor higher than that of all the other nobles. And the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, for the king had commanded this concerning him. But Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor. And then the royal officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, "Why do you disobey the king's command?" Day after day they spoke to him, but he refused to comply. Therefore they told Haman about it to see whether Mordecai's behavior would be tolerated, for he had told them that he was a Jew. And when Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. And instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all of Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. Picking up at verse 8, then Haman said to King Xerxes, "There is a certain people dispersed among all the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom who keep themselves separate. Their customs are different from those of all other people. They do not obey the king's laws. It is not in the king's best interest to tolerate them. And if it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them. And I will give 10,000 talents of silver to the king's administrators for the royal treasury." And so the king took his signet ring from his finger, gave it to Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. "Keep the money," the king said to Haman, and do with the people as you please. This is God's word to us this morning, and to him be the praise and the glory forever. So at the start of this reading, we were introduced to another key player in the book of Esther, Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite. And the text tells us that Xerxes appointed Haman as his chief noble. And in light of the values and integrity, or lack thereof, of King Xerxes, we can infer a great deal about the character of Haman, about this man who rose through the ranks. And in chapter 3, verse 2, we are told that at the command of the king himself, all of the other nobles and officials were to bow down and to pay homage to Haman. But one person did not comply. Mordecai, the man who raised Esther. And in verse 4, the text tells us that for many, many days, the royal officials questioned Mordecai about his decision not to bow down before Haman, not to play the game. But Mordecai refused to yield. And the text also suggests to us that the basis for this refusal was the fact that he had previously warned the king in chapter 2 about a plot against his life, but he never received recognition for his efforts. And then he watched someone else, Haman, be promoted to a station far above his own. Maybe some of us here today can relate to Mordecai a little on this point. Maybe some of us here feel like we have not or do not receive proper recognition for things we have done or for things we are doing even now. And the feeling of not being recognized, of not being treated fairly, can linger for a long time. And left unchecked, it can cause lasting damage on every level, especially on the spiritual level. And I don't want to minimize the hurts that some of us might feel about such treatment that we may have received, but I do mean to say that if we let our lives become dominated by these feelings, we will become people who are incapable of appreciating the blessings of each day, who are defined by a perpetual sense of victimhood, who will in turn indulge in ever-increasing patterns of behavior that will, quite frankly, cause trouble for us as well as for those who are around us. In this story, Mordecai could not get over the fact that he was not recognized for his great service to the king. He saved the king's life. But Haman was elevated over him, and he refused to bow to Haman, who he viewed as unworthy of the office that he received. And then look what happens because of that. When it came to his feelings of bitterness, Mordecai could not let it go. His refusal to bow to Haman became the spark that started the raging fire of anger in Haman's heart. And when Haman finally became aware of Mordecai's refusal to bow, he was enraged and he wanted Mordecai dead. But his rage was so great, it didn't end with just Mordecai. His wrath was extended to all of Mordecai's people, everyone who ever knew Mordecai, to all the Jews who lived throughout the Persian Empire. Because of one small sign of disrespect, because he could not let it go, Haman decided that every Jew would have to suffer the most severe punishment for Mordecai's actions. Now, it's bad enough when someone responds in anger in the heat of the moment, in the moment of the insult happening. But it's far worse when that anger, when that thirst for revenge, when that bitterness is allowed to fester over a long period of time. Now, in my opinion, no story does a better job of capturing the destructive power of festering anger and bitterness than Herman Melville's timeless classic, Moby Dick. Even if we've never read it, it seems to be one of those stories that the conclusion is still widely known, isn't it? Throughout the novel, Ahab leads his crew on a tireless hunt for the great white whale so that he may get his revenge for the loss of his leg to the great whale from many years before. And despite multiple warnings, signs from God, we could say, to reconsider his chosen path, Ahab, in that story, refused to let go of his anger, and in the end, it consumed him, it consumed his ship, it consumed his crew, except, of course, for Ishmael, who tells the story. And in Esther, Haman is a lot like Captain Ahab. In verse 7 of our reading, which we didn't read aloud, but that verse tells us that in the 12th year of King Xerxes, that is, not 12 years old, but 12th year of his rule, Haman's plot against the Jews, that anger, started to take a definite shape. And think about this for a second. Back in chapter 1, our story started in the 3rd year of King Xerxes. And now, in chapter 3, we're in the 12th year. 9 years have passed since Haman was elevated to his position. 9 years have passed since Mordecai refused to bow down to him. 9 years have passed during which Haman allowed his anger and his bitterness towards Mordecai to fester, to grow, and to deepen until his thoughts were utterly consumed with revenge. And as we continue in our study of Esther, we will see that Haman's disproportionate anger and consuming thirst for vengeance led to his downfall, just like it did for Ahab and Moby Dick. This third chapter of Esther is all about two men who would not let it go. Mordecai was upset because he did not receive recognition for his service to the king and therefore refused to bow to someone less qualified. Mordecai's refusal to let go of his anger, we said, was the spark that started the great fire of anger and rage in Haman's heart. And from there, Haman allowed the anger for Mordecai's disrespect to deepen and fester. And in this chapter, both men were at fault in different ways. Both men serve as warnings to us about the destruction that comes from allowing anger, resentment, and revenge to occupy space in our hearts and minds, even just a little bit. There's very good reason, I think, why in his letter to the Galatians, the Apostle Paul included fits of rage and envy in his list of behaviors that prevent people, that keep people from inheriting the kingdom of God. And as I've mentioned before, our world today really isn't that dissimilar from the world of Xerxes and Mordecai and Esther and Haman. Today, many people still seek to live lives of ease and sensuality. Today, many people would give everything they have for a 6-month drinking party. Many people today are still ruled by their passions, especially by anger. And just the other day, here in Kemnay even, in this lovely village in Aberdeenshire, I saw a young parent walking down Victoria Terrace with 2 young children in tow. And when they were within earshot, I heard the parent say to the children, "If someone insults you, throw it right back in their face. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. Respond in anger." As Christians, we must do better. As Christians, we must be different from the world around us that tells us to throw insults back in the face of the others. As Christians, we must be willing to let it go. As Christians, we must take Jesus seriously when he commanded us to turn the other cheek to those who dismiss us, to those who hurt us, to those who frustrate us, to those who make us angry. If we claim Christ, if we claim to be his followers, and then are content to be indistinguishable from the world around us, we do great damage to the credibility of the gospel. But if we do live differently, if we do let it go, if we do turn the other cheek, then in that moment, God speaks through us, and through us shows the world the way that he wants all of us to live, a new way of living. So in this third chapter of Esther, Mordecai and Haman both chose to respond to their circumstances with resentment and anger. Mordecai chose to disrespect Haman, and Haman chose to respond to the insult in the worst way possible. The choices of both men in this story led to terrible results, but as we'll see later in the story, God's providence was at work, even then. And we may not be rulers or princes or nobles, but every day that God gives each of us also comes with a great choice. Will we hold on to our anger, our resentment, our bitterness, our grudges, our hurts, no matter how long ago they happened? Or will we live into what Jesus wants for us? Will we make a different choice? I think we have everything to gain and nothing to lose by letting it go. Let us pray. Lord God, thank you for your word to us in today's chapter from Esther. In our own lives, we pray that you will help each of us to let go of our anger, to let go of our bitterness, to let go of our resentment. Help us, Lord, to follow the great example of Jesus, who overcame hatred with love, who conquered anger with peace. Help us, Lord, to truly live differently from the world around us, so that others will come to know you and follow you as Savior. We pray these things in the name of Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. Amen. And now we continue in our time of worship together by singing our next song, For the Joys and For the Sorrows.
Assurance. Let us continue in worship through prayer. Let us pray. The psalmist cried out, "In you, Lord, we put our trust." In a world full of instability, revenge, and pain, we recognize the truth of the psalmist's words, and we join with him as we intercede for the world. For the ways that the world struggles with anger and revenge, as is seen in the places of unrest, warfare, and genocide, bring forth your peace and plan, Father God. In you, Lord, we put our trust. For those who have been forced to flee their homes and families, bring forth a roof and provisions for them, we ask. In you, Lord, we put our trust. For those struggling with the destruction left from the recent earthquakes in Japan and Ecuador, be with them. Bring forth provisions and mighty rescues. In you, Lord, we put our trust. Not only do we offer up the world to you and the pain that we see, but we're very aware that many struggle even closer to home. And so for the families whose homes are full of anger and revenge, Jesus, come and be their light and their source of strength and love. In you, Lord, we put our trust. For those who are struggling financially and emotionally due to the changes in our local economy, bring forth jobs, we ask, and your peace. In you, Lord, we put our trust. For those who remain out of their homes due to the recent flooding, come and carry their burdens and the questions they have. In you, Lord, we put our trust. And we recognize in each of us this morning there are needs. For those of us who are personally struggling with anger and the desire for revenge, help us, Lord, to turn the other cheek. Bear in us more love and peace. And would you be the answer to our anger? In you, Lord, we put our hope and trust. For those in this body who carry the burdens of depression, addictions, and emotional and physical pain, come and be our light and our hope. In you, Lord, we put our trust. And today, for what lays ahead for each of us, we lean on you and ask for you to be our strength. In you, Lord, we put our trust. The scriptures declare some trust in chariots and some in horses, but today we declare in Kemnay Parish Church, we trust in the name of the Lord our God. And together all God's children say, Amen.
Let us now sing our closing hymn of praise. Great is thy faithfulness.
Thank you.
When we feel hurt, when we get angry, when we want to respond in kind, Jesus is calling us to let it go. Go forth from this place and show the love and peace of Jesus to the world around you, and change the world for the better in doing so. And may the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.